الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أنا عزيز الجبار المتكبر وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر وله الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم There are two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are closely connected, Al-Mutakabbir and Al-Kabir. And both of them are derived from the same triliteral root, which is Kaf Ba Ra. And we have this word in Arabic, Akbar is also derived from the same triliteral root. The meaning is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, this is the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. For example, we say in our salah, Allahu Akbar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than every single thing. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. So, Al-Kabir and Al-Mutakabbir refers to that being who has this greatness, this majesty, and none can partake from this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who is Al-Akbar, who has this attribute of Kibriya'i. So for example, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs this kibriya'i, this attribute of greatness. And in Hadith Mubarakah we learn that no one this will enter into Jannah if they have even an atom of takabbur inside their heart. So these words takabbur, kibr, kibriya'i, they're all related. And in a hadith in Barakah we learn that this Kibriya'i is the attribute, the sole attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater, is the greatest, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala views himself to be greater and knows himself to be greatest. This is a robe, and Kibriya'i is a robe that only befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody can enter in this robe. Nobody can enter inside this robe. Nobody can partake from this attribute. There is only one being who is entitled to view himself as above others, as better than others, as greater than others, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is part of our tawheed. Because the second we think that we are better, or we are greater, or we are above someone else, then that is a negation of Tawheed. We just did Shirk. So this is a very important, a very intense attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to understand. That we need to understand that this is one attribute which befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the opposite of that, of this attribute, is humility. And humility should be the sifat of a believer. So whoever tries to leave this humility, this bandagi, and tries to enter into this cloak, this robe of Allah's path that has majesty and greatness and views himself to be better, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in Jalal. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that Al-Kibriya'u Ridai Wal-Azmatu Idari, that Kibriya'i, this greatness, is my robe, and Azmat, this majesty, is my libas, it's my garment. And whoever tries to take this garment away from me, or tries to make that attempt to take this garment away from me, and Allah says that I'm going to destroy that person. So these are the very intense, like we said, attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way we relate to this attribute is that we understand our own haqiqat. We understand our own reality. Actually, before that, we should always understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some attributes and skills. So a question many people have is that, what about my skill? What about, maybe I'm skilled as in calligraphy, or I can play well, or I can speak well. All of us, we have some other attributes like that, and some skills that we have. So the way we should think about our skills and our attributes is that these skills, these good qualities, they don't belong to us, but they have been given to us by Allah. In other words, they're not personal, they're not zati. Rather, Allah has given these things to us, given these qualities to us. And many times a person, we make a mistake here. We are looking at these attributes as if they belong to me, right? These kamalat, right? As if they belong to me. And we forget that these have been given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That these were given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We forget our reality. So we should never forget this reality, that we don't own any sifat on our own. We don't own any kamalat or any perfection in ourselves. Whatever we have, that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should attribute those qualities back to Allah. That I on my own, I'm nothing. Allah ta'ala gave this quality to me. Allah ta'ala made me like this. Allah ta'ala gave me this attribute. Allah ta'ala gave me this perfection. So we shouldn't have this self-love for ourselves, or self, sometimes people fall prey to their own attributes, love for oneself. Rather, what befits a person is that we are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should have this ubudiyat. Allah says in Quran that we haven't created you except for ibadah, except for ubudiyah. So we need to adopt this quality of bandagi. In Arabic we call this ubudiyah. In English we call this servanthood. And in Urdu we call this bandagi. And this abd, being an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, being an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is so beautiful. This is the greatest maqam any person can get. The highest rank a person can get is when they view themselves to be a servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not that kind of a slavery that you think about, like the Atlantic on a slave trade or something like that. In the deen of Islam, this is the highest spiritual rank a person can get. That's why we know this, because when we recite our kalima, we say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. First, we testify that the Prophet was an abd of Allah, was the servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he was the messenger of Allah. So being the abd of Allah, abdullah, this is one of the greatest maqam, rank that any person can get. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes from us, that this takabbur, this kibr, this greatness, this is an attribute of Allah. And we, on the other hand, are supposed to have this ajizi, this abdiyat, ubudiyat inside of ourself. So Allah does not tolerate that a person tries to partake in this kibriyai. Allah loves that person who erases himself, who erases herself, who views themselves low in their own eyes. who views themselves as low. Despite having all the kamalat, they still attribute all those kamalat back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah, I don't have anything on my own. Allah, whatever I have, Allah, you have given this to me. And if you look, when a person has humility, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives izzat to that person. Allah ta'ala loves this sifat of humility. So if you look in the stories of the Sahaba Ikram, we see how the Sahaba Ikram, they learned this lesson and they removed all signs of arrogance and greatness from within them and they adopted humility, and then Allah ta'ala gave them such a rank in rutba. One of the most beautiful example is that of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an. The Prophet gave him the glad tiding of being a Siddiq. He was from amongst the Ashra Mubashara, promised Jannat in this world. Once the Prophet was on the Mount Uhud and said that, Uhud, why are you shaking? Upon you is standing a Nabi and a Siddiq. And in the Prophet in his own lifetime, asked Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an to come and stand on his Musalla and lead the Salah. Allahu Akbar. And then at the time of Hijrah and migration, when the Prophet wanted some companion, some Rafiq, some friend to accompany him, so at that time, the Prophet chose Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an. But despite all of this fazila, all of these qualities, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an, his kefiyat, his condition was that when he would look at his own self, he would start trembling, he would start crying. And he would say that, I wish my mother hadn't given birth to me. I wish that I was a hair on the body of a believer. I wish that I was some kind of a bird, or I was a grass, and some animal would come and just eat me. This was the condition, how the humility. And once the Prophet ﷺ himself said about Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an, that who man arada an yanzura ila al-mayti yamshi ala al-ard, that whoever wishes to see like a dead man walking on the face of this earth, then falyanzur ila ibn abi qahafa, then they shall look at the son of Abu Qahafa, yani Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu. And subhanallah, he had so much humility, and because of this humility, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that rank, that maqam, that in Quran Allah mentions, Inna Allah ma'ana. Allah ta'ala gave him this glad tiding that Allah is with us. Why? Because he erased himself. He acquired humility. And whoever acquires humility, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises that person up. So in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that man tawaza'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. That whoever acquires tawazu and humility for the sake of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises that person up. Allah gives izzat and honor to such an individual. Then the second example is of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. He also is a model of humility for us. He at one point there was some mal or wealth that came to him, and he saw that wealth and he became happy. And then he called people and said that, come close to the member. And the people, they came close. And then he said in front to those people, and he was addressing his own self, that Umar, you're that same Umar that your mother used to eat dry meat. Right? He was reminding himself of who he was. What was his origin? That you used to be so hungry, your condition was so simple, so difficult, that because of hunger you used to just chew on dry meat. That's what you were. That's what your household is. That's what your origin is. And he said this to himself, and then he came down from the minbar. And the Sahaba Ikram, they were surprised that Amir al-Mu'mineen, you gathered us, you wanted to say something, and you're saying this. And then later, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he gave the reply. And he said that when I looked at all that wealth that came to us, so a thought came in my heart that Umar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this favor that Muslims are victorious and these futuhat are happening. So I felt at that time that lest my nafs begins to feel that arrogance and pride and ego, so I wanted to cure this sickness of my nafs. That's why I gathered all of you and I said something. I made that statement so that that takabbur, that pride goes away. So subhanallah, these were the Sahaba Ikram who erased themselves in such a beautiful way. And we can't even imagine, it's very difficult for us to imagine how much humility the Sahaba Ikram had. This is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, about whom the Prophet ﷺ with his blessed tongue gave so many glad tidings. And he imagined the Prophet ﷺ would make dua to Allah ta'ala, dear Allah, strengthen Islam by Umar. And he was the maqbool of the Prophet ﷺ. And many cases it happened that when the revelation and wahi would descend from the sky, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that revelation came in accordance to the opinion of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. No, this is known as the Muwafaqat-e Umar. Several verses in the Quran, they came down and they were exactly like the opinion of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an about some matters. And about him, Sayyidina Umar, the Prophet ﷺ said that لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيًّا, that if there was to be a Nabi after me, لَكَانَ Umar, it would be Umar radiallahu an. And the Prophet ﷺ also said that الْحَقُّ, this haqq speaks on the tongue of Umar. And all the Prophet ﷺ also said that Umar, when he walks in one direction, shaitan flees that area, that direction, and takes the other route. And imagine, there is so many fazail about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, his own halat was that at the time of the Hajjat, he would wake up and then he would talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would open his heart before Allah. And then he would raise his hand and make dua, ajeeb dua, that O Allah, Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira wa fi a'yunin nasi kabira. That O Allah, make me small in my own eyes. Allah, make me small, saghir. Make me small in my own eyes. And Allah, make me big in the eyes of other people. Because so that other people view me as big, so that when I do work of deen, they can accept this work of deen and the work of deen can continue. But in my own eyes, Allah, make me small. Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira. Allahu Akbar. And it comes about him that despite these maqamat, despite these this rank, the status that he had, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was so cautious about his own self. He was so worried about his own state. He was so ajiz and humble in his own self that once he came and asked Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala an, that Huzaifa, I know that the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned to you the names of the Munafiqeen. Munafiqeen in Medina Munawwara, the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned those names to you. And I also know that the Prophet ﷺ told you not to disclose the names of the Munafiqeen to anyone. So I'm not asking you to disclose for me the names of the Munafiqeen, but I'm asking you for just this much, that just tell me, is Umar's name in that list or not? Allahu Akbar. Is Umar's name in that list of Munafiqeen or not? This was the ajizi, the humility of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So we should also try to have this sifat inside of ourselves. And the way we relate to this attribute of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala is Al-Kabir and Allah Ta'ala is Al-Mutakabbir, that Allah Ta'ala is the owner of this greatness and majesty and might, and there's no one who can partake from this robe of Allah's majesty, is that we remind ourselves of our own haqiqat. One very practical way of inculcating humility is to just remember our own reality. That's why even in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that falyanzuril insanu mimma khuliq. That insan, human being, should try to just ponder and reflect on his own creation. How was he created? How was he created? There was a young man who was walking a bit arrogantly, and he came to a scholar, a sheikh. It was an Allahwala, person of Allah. So that person, he addressed the young man and said that, "Oh my son, don't walk like that. Allah likes that a person should walk with a bit of humility." So that young man replied and said that, "Do you know who I am?" And you know, these people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes they know how to respond. So he said that, "Yes, I know who you are. I know who you are. Your beginning was a drop of impurity, and your end would be a corpse which is dead and smelly. And in between that state, your beginning and end, in between that state, you used to carry filth in your stomach. And if that filth comes out, no one will come even near to you." And then that sheikh, he said that, oh my son, that you should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone praises you, actually they're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed our faults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sattari, that Allah ta'ala has put a cover over our sins, over our faults, and that's why people praise us. People do tarif of us. It's actually praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why should a person begin to view himself as someone when that's who we are? That's our beginning, that's our end, and in between, that's what we are. In fact, if we ponder about our own self, that whatever comes out from a human body, it's all dirty, right? Whatever comes out, sweat comes out from us. We sneeze and something comes out from our nose. Spit comes out from our mouth. Dirt comes out from our ears, right? And then the other things all of us are familiar with, right? So in the Prophet said, no, not the Prophet said, this is one of the call of our mashayikh, of our scholars. They say that a person should, we should try to erase our arrogance, this takabbur inside of us, because the habit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that those who don't erase this arrogance and pride, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases that. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases that, then the whole world, they watch, right? It becomes like a spectacle. And all we have to do is just look at our own human history. There's so many big, I don't know, people who went, but they were arrogant and pride, had pride, and all of them were destroyed eventually. So the rule to remember is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves humility. Man tawaza'a lillah, rafa'ahullah. So if someone announces himself that I am big, that doesn't make that person big. that big is that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises. Whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises. This is very important for us to remember. That a person doesn't attain rafat and greatness just by claiming to be great. But greatness is a person attains that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises that individual. And we have a story, a very beautiful instructive story in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ himself, that when the Prophet ﷺ went to Taif, all of you know the treatment, none of the people in Taif, they accepted Islam. In fact, they sent their kids who started pelting the Prophet ﷺ with stones. And then the Prophet ﷺ took refuge in a garden. And when Angel Jibrail came and he asked that if you want, you can make baddua and we can destroy this entire community. The Prophet ﷺ did not make any baddua. But rather the dua that he made at that time was a dua of humility. It was a dua which is so full of humility, Allahu Akbar. Every word of that dua, it speaks about the humility of the Prophet ﷺ. Allahumma inni abduk. That, oh Allah, you are my Rabb and I'm your servant. I'm your abd. Wabnu abdik. And I am the son of your abd. I'm the son of your bond servant. Wabnu amatik. And I'm the son of your female bond servant. Female bond, your bandi. Bande ka beta hoon aur aapki bandi ka beta hoon. This is the words of the Prophet ﷺ. Nasiyati biyadik. And Allah, my forehead is in your hands, is in your kudrat. Qazin fi hukmik. And Allah, whatever you decide for me will be just. Whatever you decide for me will be based on justice. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that, oh Allah, who are you handing me towards? These are strangers who are so bitter against me. They're so harsh. These are people who hate me. They don't even know me. But oh Allah, if you are pleased with me, then even if the whole world is angry, I don't care. And but Allah, if you are angry, if you are displeased, then it is necessary that I please you. I need to please you until you become radi with me. I need to keep on making that effort to please you until you finally become pleased with me. And if you reflect on this dua, every word you can see humility dripping from this dua of the Prophet ﷺ. So in Taif, the Prophet ﷺ, this was the peak of humility. And the Prophet ﷺ displayed that level of humility which no human being had ever done. And this event happened, and then the Prophet ﷺ came back from Taif. And upon return to Makkah Mukarramah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Miraj to the Prophet ﷺ. That waqia of Miraj happened after this incident of Taif. Allah Ta'ala blessed the Miraj, the greatest height any creation would attain. Right? Man tawaza'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. That whoever acquires humility for the sake of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rank and honor to them. There's a person, very famous author by the name of Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah. He has written two books, and Gulistan and Bostan, and he's mentioned a lot of words of wisdom, stories of wisdom, hikayat in those books. Some of them are just made up, but the lessons of hikmat are very beautiful. And in one of the stories, he mentions a dialogue between a flag and a curtain, a royal flag and a curtain. And they are having this conversation with each other, and the flag says, to the curtain that whenever the king goes for a battle, look at me, look at my shan, that whenever the king goes for battle, he takes me, he takes the royal flag. And I bear all the hardships of battle, all the hardships of journey, the hardships of winter, the hardship of summer, mud, dust, dirt. But it's Ajib that you get all the honor. I mean, the royal curtain, the curtain gets all the honor. You have a place in the palace of the king. You are there in the privacy of the chamber of the king. The king and his family, they use you to hide themselves. So why is that so? And the curtain, he replied and said that true, what you're saying is right, that you are bearing all the difficulties, but I'm getting all the honor. And then he said, the reason for this is that, oh flag, you keep your head higher in the sky, and I have lowered my head down on the ground. I have ajizi. And because of this ajizi and humility, I have this honor. Our own Sheikh, he gives a beautiful example, Anjib example, that in our human body, we have, at the top, we have our head, and then at the bottom, we have feet. Head is a place of arrogance, and feet have humility, right? That's why whenever any person makes a mistake, you hit the head with the shoes, right? And when you want to please someone, you want to win someone over, people bend down and they hold their feet, right? So it's interesting that the head gets the hit, but the feet are getting the honor. You hit the head, but you hold the feet. So honor, honor lies in humility. When a person has humility, tawazu, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises that person up. I think most of us are familiar with Mawlana Rum rahmatullah. So Mawlana Rum rahmatullah also writes these interesting stories in his Masnavi. And he mentions a particular anecdote about a dog. There was a person who was passing through some fields, and it was a narrow path, right? On either side there was water and fields, so the path was very, very narrow, and this person had to cross through and reach the other side. But standing in the way was this dog who was coming from the other side. And now the dog is coming from one side, this person is coming from the other side, and the path is narrow. And there's water on either side. So the man, he thought, and he's thinking, that, oh dog, why don't you give me way? Oh dog, why don't you go on the side in the ditch and give me way so that I can pass through? But when he reached the dog did not give him any way. And the dog is standing, and this person is also standing. And he again pleads to the dog that, oh dog, if you go down on the side in the ditch, nothing will happen to you. You're already dirty. But if I go down, my feet will become dirty, my clothes will become filthy, I have to pray salah, I have to change my clothes. So you should go down. And then Mawlana Rum rahmatullah, he writes that the dog replied to that person and said that, oh my friend, if you go down, your clothes will become dirty, but you can wash them, you can purify them. However, if I go down, you will say that I am better than a dog. I'm better than a dog, that the dog left the way for me. And this will corrupt your heart. This will make your heart impure. Your heart will have this arrogance and pride. And when the heart becomes corrupt and impure, it's very difficult to clean the heart. So better that you step down and your clothes will become dirty. It's easy to purify your clothing, your garment, but if your heart becomes corrupt, it's very difficult to clean this heart. So we should not view ourselves to be better than others. We should have this humility inside of ourselves. Normally, there are a few reasons why a person becomes arrogant. One of the reasons is wealth. That when a person doesn't have wealth, they're okay to some extent. But when a person has wealth, then a person begins to fly. Right? Our conversation changes, our tone changes. So we should be wary about this. And all of us, we know stories where a person has a lot of wealth and then halat, they change, and sometimes they're forced to sell even their house. Everything that they have is finished. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us with these examples that if I know how to make a person wealthy, I also know how to make a person needy. Right? So one should not take pride in these objects. It's wealth, our house, our car. They're given to us by Allah as a loan, and it's not something that we should be arrogant about. This dunya and whatever the dunya contains, the Prophet ﷺ said that it doesn't even have the worth of the wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Allah. Right? So, in fact, in Hadr Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the miskeen, that the poor of my ummah, they will enter half a day before the rich. The poor of my ummah will enter half a day before the rich, and one day in Qiyamah will be equal to 1,000 years. I mean, they will enter 500 years before the rich. That's another reason why a person sometimes becomes arrogant is because of beauty. Jamal. One is mal, the other is jamal. People view themselves to be somehow, because of their looks, right? Good looks, height. And then those who don't have such looks, we tend to make fun of them. They kuska chira esai, face is like this, and color is like this, and eyes are like that. And we're sort of finding faults. This is also something which a person should avoid. Because again, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us good looks, good complexion, it's not my kamal. Ito kamal wale ka kamal. It's Allah has given. This is given by Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to give. Allah also knows how to take it away. People have beautiful eyes. Allah wishes Allah can make them blind as well. Good height, Allah can make them handicapped. They're independent, Allah can make them needy. So why take pride in these things which are so temporary, so fleeting? You have them one day, you can lose them tomorrow. So we should never look down on others because of their wealth or because of their beauty or because of their looks, whatever. We should never look down on others. We should have this attitude of humility. That's another thing that sometimes leads to arrogance is khandan, right? Your family, your lineage, your forefathers. And people like to say that we are from that community. My forefathers were like this, belong to a noble lineage. At the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a person said to another that, do you know who I am? That I am the son of X, and he mentioned his father's name, and he was the son of Fala, and Fala was the son of Fala, and Fala was the son of Fala. And in this way he mentioned 9 generations of his forefathers, right? At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a revelation upon Musa alayhi salam and said, O Musa, tell him that the nine people whom he just mentioned are all in Jahannam. And he is the tenth one because he is also following them in their path. So this lineage and generations, this is not something to be proud of. Allah says in Quran as well that Ya Ayyuhannas Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa unsa wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila li ta'arafu. That yes, these tribes and communities, we have created them, but they're only for to help you so that you can recognize yourself as by way of introduction, right? That you can introduce yourself that I belong to this kabila or this tribe or this city. Not for a fazilat. It's not for merit. It's not for virtue. No black has any merit over a white. No white has any merit over a black. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays down the principle about merit. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. That the most honorable in the sight of Allah is that who has the greatest amount of taqwa. So one should have taqwa and not have this arrogance. Many times it happens that a person acquires some ilm. Ilm and knowledge can also make a person arrogant. That a person has a PhD in a particular discipline, a PhD in a particular subject. So we should, again, don't view other people because of, we should not look down upon other people. If a person has studied 5-6 letters, doesn't make this is my own kamal. Allah Ta'ala gave us intelligence. Allah Ta'ala gave me memory. Allah Ta'ala gave me intellect. This is the favor, this is the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll just end with a story. Once Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghafari radiallahu ta'ala an, he addressed Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an. All of us are familiar with Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, that he was from Abyssinia and he had a dark complexion and different facial features. So Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghafari radiallahu ta'ala an, he addressed him and he said a bit strong words that Ya Ibn Sauda, that O son of a black woman. And when he said this, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he became upset. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what was said to me. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called Abu Dharr Ghafari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he asked him, first asked him that, did this happen, right? And Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghafari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied that, yes, I made this mistake. So then the Prophet ﷺ said that this black or white, this was a distinction of ignorance of jahiliyyah. And I can see inside of you these signs of zamane jahiliyyah. Islam has completely eradicated all these differences, these distinctions based on color. There's no merit that is associated with any color now. So at that time, Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghafari radiallahu ta'ala an, he immediately lowered his head. He immediately, he kept his head on the ground and he pleaded to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an and said, O Bilal, until you place your foot on my face, you'll have to place your feet on my face, otherwise I will not raise my head. Now this was his humility immediately keeping his head on the ground and asking Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala to come and place his feet on his face. And then Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he kept his feet on his face. And remember, Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala, he was the leader of the tribe of Bani Ghaffar. And only when Sayyidina Bilal kept his foot on his face, then he raised his head again. This was his kafiyat, this was his humility. And then after this event, Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had erased this arrogance, this ego so much that people saw that he preferred isolation. Unka thoda sa tanhai wala mizaj tha, right? He would just try to stay aloof from other people. Once the Prophet was heading out for jihad, and all the Sahaba Ikram, they were getting ready on their animals. And then they rode out and they covered the distance of one day. And at that time, the Prophet ﷺ, he asked the Sahaba to pitch their tents. So now they're pitching their tents, and what they see is that far away there is a person who's coming towards them from the desert. And he's carrying some goods on his shoulders, and he is walking alone. So the Sahaba are looking, and then the Prophet ﷺ is also looking that who is that person. And at that time, the Prophet ﷺ just utters these words that Kun Abazar. That, oh Allah, let this person who's coming, let him be Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala an. And when that person came near, he was actually Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala an. And the Prophet ﷺ at that time made dua that Rahim Allahu Aba Zar. That, oh Allah, shower mercy upon Abu Zar. يَعِيشُ وَحْدَانًا وَيَمُوتُ وَحْدَانًا. That he will live a life alone, will spend his life all alone, and when he will die, he will also be in a state of loneliness. He will be alone. The Prophet ﷺ, he made this prediction, and this prediction came true word by word. Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to live alone. He had a disagreement with others, and people would be amassing a lot of money. He became upset with that, and people asked him to leave Makkah, to leave Makkah Mukarramah. So he reached Syria. There again, people asked him to leave. Then he came to Madina Munawwara. There again, people asked him to leave. And then finally, he started living in a place which was outside of Madina Munawwara by the name of Rabza. It was just sand dunes everywhere. There's no abadi, no one living there, just like a desert area. So he was living there. Now from the other side, what happens is that there's Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala an, who's a Sahabi Rasul. Once he was returning from jihad, and he was returning with his whole caravan, and he's now passing by this area where Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala is. At that time, Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was inside his own tent, and these were the last moments of his life. And no one was with him at that time except for his wife. And when the time was very near for him to leave this world, his wife, she became worried. And she said to her husband that we are living here in a desert, sand dunes everywhere. No one lives here apart from us. And if you die, who will bury you? Who will give you kafan, dafan, janaza, all of that? There's no one apart from me. And Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that don't worry. Don't worry about this. After some time, a caravan will pass by this particular place and go out and say to the people of this caravan that this is the body of a Muslim. Kindly pray janaza over it and make arrangements for kafan and dafan. And then Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala, he passed away. When he passed away, the wife, she placed his body out of the tent and near the rasta, near the way. And from the other side, now Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he's coming with his caravan. And the wife, she said that this is a body of a Muslim and we wish that you pray janaza over this. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he steps forward and he removes the cloth from the face of the body. And then he recognizes that this is the body of this elder of this tribe of Bani Ghaffar, Hazrat Abu Dhar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala an. And seeing that, tears they flow from his eyes. He's crying. And he's saying, Sadaqa Rasulullah, Sadaqa Rasulullah, Sadaqa Rasulullah, that the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke the truth. Rahim Allahu Aba Dhar, that may Allah have rahmat upon Abu Zar. Ya'ishu wahdana wa yamutu wahdana. He spent his life in a state of isolation and he died also in a state of isolation. So hasab and nasab, this should not lead a person towards arrogance. It's not a means of salvation. The Prophet ﷺ said to his own daughter, Amma Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha also, through Fatima, make your own arrangement for salvation, for najat. I can't remove you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet ﷺ is saying this to his beloved daughter, then how can we take benefit from someone else? We have to make our own preparation. So we end that the summary of this name is that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this attribute of greatness, and human beings, we should make this irada, this intention of acquiring humility. And tonight we can make this intention that, oh Allah, you have bought us. You say in Quran that you have bought us, you have bought our wealth, you have bought our property, all that we have. Allah, we are sold to you. You are our owner. And Allah, we ask you that since you have bought us, Allah, don't reject us. No matter how bad we are, Allah, we are still people who recite the kalma. Allah, we are sold, we are in your possession. Like Allah says in Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ, that Allah has bought from the mu'mineen in return for their jaan, their wealth. Allah is willing to give us his jannat. So we are already owned by Allah, bought by Allah. Allah has already owned us. And so we present this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, you've already bought us. And we see this in dunya also, that when you buy something, you don't sell it back, you don't return it. Allah, we are also sold, and Allah, it's against your mercy that you reject us once you have accepted us. So Allah, we ask you that you accept us, that you accept our tawbah, and you keep us in your own possession, you keep us in your own ownership. And Allah, we ask you that you grant us your qubuliyya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us maqbool. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us that we can adorn ourselves with this sifat of humility. And may Allah ta'ala save all of us from this attribute of takabbur, pride and arrogance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast a glance of rahmah upon our hearts and purify our hearts. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And with a short dua, Subhana Rabbil Alwaham, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallam. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al zalimin. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk وحب من يقربنا إليك. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. يا الله يا رب كريم، we come to you tonight. Allah, we ask that you purify our hearts of arrogance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we admit that we have impure hearts. Allah, we have arrogance and pride in our hearts. Allah, we ask that you remove this arrogance and grant us humility. Allah, grant us humility inside of our life, in our hearts, in our thinking, in the way we'll deal with other people. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have shahwat inside of our hearts. Allah, we ask that you remove that shahwa, and Allah, grant us haya in our eyes, haya in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have feelings of envy and jealousy. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove those feelings and grant us husnizan and well-being towards others. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have stinginess inside of us. Allah, remove the stinginess and make us generous. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have anger. Allah, remove this unlawful anger and grant us forgiveness and forbearance and hilm. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we have this love for dunya in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove this unlawful love for the dunya. And Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabba. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove the unlawful loves from our hearts, the unlawful feelings from our hearts, the unlawful desires from our hearts, and the unlawful khwaishat from our hearts. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, fill our hearts with lawful muhabbat, muhabbat that is for you, and muhabbat that is in your name and for your sake. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you do tazakiyah of our hearts. For surely, Allah, you are the muzakki hakiki. Allah, we present our hearts to you. Allah, we ask you that you do tazakiyah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us to follow in the footsteps of the Sahaba Ikram. Ya Rabbi Kareem, the way you beautified them with these sifat mu'minana. Allah, we also wish to follow in their footsteps. Allah, adorn us also with those sifat mu'minana that are pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us humility, grant us tawazu. Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us that strong iman that the Sahaba Ikram had. Allah, make us increase in our love for the Sahaba. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us the iman of the Sahaba. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to follow in their footsteps, the footsteps of the Nabiyeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, and the Saliheen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi khayr khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.